Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Your Home, Your Money. This is Bill Quigley.
And this is Art Blanchett.
We're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. to help you with your home financing needs. We're the Mortgage Guys from Capital Mortgage Advisors. Now, this week, we've got a really good show. Art, what do we got going on this week?
Oh, just a great opportunity for us today. I was doing some searches on the internet. We keep a blog, and we like to stay abreast of what's going on in the industry. And we found this article that was posted on the Washington Post, and it says it's called A Fight Over the Fine Print. And you can look that up on the WashingtonPost.com. And what's incredible about it is I'm reading this article, and there's a couple that's involved in this article, and they're right from Wisconsin. I said, gosh, we got to get a chance to talk to these people. And so a little bit of research and a little bit of searching around here and there, and we got a hold of the family involved. And this Susan has acquiesced to be our guest. Susan, this is Art Blanchett here. Can you hear me okay?
I think she's still on hold.
All right. How are we doing?
Hang on 1 second.
Susan, this is Art. Can you hear me?
Maybe not. There she is.
You wouldn't mind calling me Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Sue.
We lost you for a second there. Good morning.
Sue,
thanks for joining us.
Yep. We didn't hear the first 30 seconds of what you said.
Oh, okay.
My fault. My bad. All right.
No
so
problem.
This is Susan Andrews. And gosh, what a story.
Yeah, it's been kind of it's been an interesting couple of years for us.
Oh, it sounds like it based on this article and a lot of the comments that are posted to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I understand not all the comments are very nice.
Well, there's been a lot of negative, and people don't know the whole story. And the Chevy Chase Bank people are trying to make us look like we were pretty stupid and not looking at every single word of every single document, and where, in fact, it's more a case of a bait and switch that actually happened with our loan.
Okay.
Right.
Sue, if we could kind of summarize what happened in this story, and then we have some questions for you to kind of go through the whole process of what happened in this,
okay,
when you started with the mortgage, what the process was, and where you are today. Does that sound all right?
Sure, that's great.
Based on this article, it looks like you and your husband wanted to refinance. You got a couple of kids heading off to college. You wanted to refinance, give yourself some flexibility on your mortgage, maybe get a little bit of cash out. I'm not sure if that's correct, but You were presented with a package from a broker that looked pretty attractive, great rate. I mean, rates were really low in 2004. You're presented with a package that looked like it was going to be fixed for 5 years at a super low rate. And after that, you got your first payment coupon a month after you closed, and the reality started sinking in about what was really going on with your mortgage or what you really were signed off on as far as your home financing.
Right.
That's what we got. Yep. Right. So that's what we got out of the article. That's what we read. And so we want to know, you know, how this stuff happened. We want to know your opinion. And we also want to let our listeners know, you know, we really, really talk about some of these products. And this sounds like one of those option arms. And what we call an option arm or a pick a payment. And we've been against these things. And we tell people to be careful. And we tell people they're deceptive. And this happened to you. So this is, I mean, it's exciting for us. Unfortunately, it's your life.
I
guess it's exciting
and things
for you.
Are okay. It's been interesting. I mean, basically, we were, it wasn't even a package that was sent to us in the mail. It was just a flyer that had come in the mail. And I'm looking at it, and it says, new 1.95 home loan save Wisconsin homeowners thousands of dollars. And it had a comparison of the new loan versus a 30-year fixed, and in the example that they show, you're basically having to pay $500 less per month, you know, if you are interested in this. Well, it caught my husband's eye, and the number there was to contact a local broker if you were, you know, interested to find out more about this loan, and so that's what he did.
It's a familiar flyer. I've seen it, many of them that are just like it. It's been advertised in the paper, on the internet, even on television about save hundreds of dollars on your mortgage with these super low interest rates, 1.25, 1.95.
Right.
So definitely it's going to catch your eye when you see something like that.
It did. And honestly, with Art's talking about the fact that, you know, we have four kids. They're 16 up to 23, college age. Several of them are in college. And, you know, we have money saved for that. But we just thought, well, this might be something, once he talked to the broker, realized he was talking about supposedly a 5-year fixed product, and then it was going to adjust after that point. And we knew we weren't going to be staying in our home for maybe more than 3 or 4 years because we wanted to move closer to the city of Milwaukee. So we thought, well, this is great. Then we'll have less monthly costs to help us put more towards the tuition and books that our kids would be needing. And so that's why we even, we were in a 15-year fixed loan at 5.625 through a local banker, and it was great. But, you know, hindsight, you know, we obviously, this looked like a, you know, this is an attractive little teaser thing here, and we obviously shouldn't have responded.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I have a client during that time, and you know who it is, Bill, I won't mention his name, but he only gets adjustable rate mortgages.
Yeah.
And I was able to get him a rate, and this is a rate that actually had absolutely no closing costs, no buy down or anything, at 3.375, so 3 3/8. So at that time, that wasn't much of a stretch. And if
right.
he could have bought his rate down under 3 very easily.
Yeah.
So I could see that was not a stretch at that time. But also, you said it was the way it was presented, right?
Right. Well, the broker was, you know, showing us a Chevy Chase product in terms of their paperwork. But he basically, I would verify with him because it just sounded like a really good thing. And I thought, geez, we have to be careful. And, you know, he kept verifying with me that, no, yeah, it will adjust, but that's going to happen after 5 years. And he would show me even the truth in lending forms. We, you know, we had signed a couple of preliminary things, even on the mortgage loan application. It had said conventional 1.95 fixed rate.
Conventional? I mean,
that's not right.
Yeah,
exactly. That doesn't even make any sense. And it's only because our lawyers, you know, bothered to save all this paperwork and, you know, refer to it to look at that, I thought, where does conventional come in, 1.95 fixed rate? It's been, you know, so we were basically led, you know, by this broker to believe it was going to be fixed by 5 years. Chevy Chase Bank, which is, you know, who we're having our suit against, you know, basically initially said, no, you should be suing the brokerage. But, you know, Chevy Chase, in fact, it was their paperwork, and they are the ones who paid the broker. So, and their product showed, you know, 5-year fixed.
It's interesting that a broker is presenting a bank's paperwork at your initial meeting.
That wasn't at the initial,
oh,
but when it
okay.
came. Right, when it came down to
the final
to the closing.
Okay,
right. And we know, you know, we are lenders here, and we also know that the paperwork comes from the lender, you know.
Right.
Right? So it comes from the people that are providing the money. And when you saw this, you know, and in the article it says this, that everything says, it says 5-year fixed product. And so you're thinking this is fixed for 5 years. And I don't know about anybody else, but to me and everybody I know looks at a loan product,
right.
Fixed means it's fixed. It means the interest rate is fixed. And the article says that Chevy was saying that, no, what we really mean is that the payment was fixed. Hey, I'm sorry. That's not the way
right.
we look at it.
But I mean, it wasn't that uncommon at that time when rates were extremely low on adjustable rate mortgages as well to get a 3-year fixed or a 5-year fixed in a very low interest rate. But your payment and your interest rate were fixed on those type of products,
right.
on conventional products.
Right.
But you ended up with something else.
We did. And honestly, you know, to not act like we're totally green about things, I mean, there are definitely if people that want to buy a new car, it'll say 36-month, 48-month fixed
right.
at you know, 2%. So, I mean, there are loans that are out there. So this wasn't like an outrageous thing in my mind. I mean, it sounded like it was something that would fit for us, we thought, being that we weren't planning to stay in this house more than maybe 3 or 4 years, that this was the thing.
So you went to the closing. You're sure that this is the product you're getting, the documentation said that this is your product, and you're all set. And I also know that they pointed out in the article that it says, and I disagree with this, it says that Chevy Chase has countered with, they said, well, it says adjustable rate mortgage in bold print. So a 5-year fixed is an adjustable rate mortgage. Everybody knows that too. And they also said that your APR was 4.14, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they buy the truth in lending, they have to give the APR based on the fully amortized, fully indexed product, correct, Bill?
Well, it has to be that you take your closing costs into consideration. And one thing we've talked about in previous shows is don't rely upon the APR for shopping for a mortgage.
But Chevy Chase is saying that that was okay.
It's not okay based on the fact, based on what the article leads into, what Sue found out was wrong with this mortgage is even the APR was misleading in this transaction.
That's what I think. That's what I think. When you see 4.14, you're figuring that it's the fully amortized average, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, Sue, tell us, what was the first thing that alarmed you that you realized that maybe something's wrong with this mortgage?
Well, we closed on the mortgage in June of 2004. We made the first payment, I believe, August. Then, you know, how you have that month and a half or whatever with a new loan. It just seems like you can skip a payment, kind of. So our first payment coupon that had come said 1.95, and we made the payment. And then when the next payment came for the following month, September, it had said the interest rate was 4.375. So it had more than doubled. And at that point, we would have been receiving that late in August of 2004. I called Chevy Chase and I said, there must be a mistake. And, you know,
yeah.
Because I said, we signed, you know, maybe there's somewhere, it's a printing error or someone goofed up, because we signed for a product that was 1.95 for 5 years. And basically the person I was talking to, the representative, didn't understand it and said, well, no, that's what you have. And at that point, that was brand new into this big mess. She said, you need to go back to the brokerage and talk with them about it.
Yep.
So my husband had tried to place several calls to the brokerage, and, you know, they didn't get back to us very efficiently, and actually the broker that we dealt with was no longer there.
I mean, the company was gone, or just the individual loan officer?
Just that loan officer was gone at that time, I guess. And actually, I've heard recently that either he's changing his business. I know he physically moved. I don't know if he actually closed down the actual brokerage. So that was the first realization that, oh my gosh, something's wrong here, was after we received that payment.
First payment.
That'd be a shock.
It must have been an eye opener. But you got on it right away. That was excellent. That's most people, they don't really pay much attention. So you did a great job getting on this.
We're going to have to, hey, Sue, can you hang on 1 second? We do need to take a quick break.
Sure.
Just to hear from our sponsors. Hang in there.
Okay.
This is a great story. We want to get into this a little bit deeper. But you're listening to Your Home, Your Money, Bill Quigley and Art Blanchett. We're going to be right back.
That's right. We're talking to Susan Andrews. We're talking about the Washington Post article, A Fight Over Fine Print. So listen to this when you come back. Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. Bill Quigley here along with Art Blanchett. You're listening to Your Home, Your Money Mortgage Radio here in 1670 The Pulse. We're talking about an article that was in the Washington Post entitled A Fight Over the Fine Print. Sue Andrews is on the line with us, and we're talking about a mortgage that she and her husband got into a few years ago that it started off as looking pretty rosy as a low 5-year fixed adjustable rate mortgage, but it was supposed to be fixed for 5 years. Once they got their first payment coupon, there was a very big surprise in the envelope, and Sue took action immediately. So, Sue, welcome back. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Sure, thanks.
Hi, Sue. Art here again. I just want to let everyone know that the significance of this case is Sue and Kevin didn't take this lying down. Brian, excuse me.
Kevin's Brian. Kevin is our attorney. Right?
Kevin's the attorney. Oh, he didn't take this lying down either.
Right.
Sue and Brian didn't take this lying down. They decided to go after and protect their rights and to say, we were wrong, we're going to do something about it. And this has turned into a possible class action lawsuit. The lower case has ruled in favor of the Andrews family, and this can be a class action lawsuit. So this has great significance to Chevy Chase because there's about 7,000 people out there with similar loans. So this is going deep into their pocketbook if things don't go right for them. So we're going to get to the bottom of this, is what we're trying to do. We're getting the perspective of the borrower and how this all happened. All right.
So, Sue, once you got that statement, you realized that there was trouble with this mortgage. You then contacted legal counsel?
No, actually, we didn't. Once my husband actually did talk to the owner of the brokerage, he, you know, realized, he talked with him and said, no, this, you know, you misunderstood. This is what it was. Even though we couldn't talk to the broker that sold us the product, because he was no longer there. And so we realized after Brian talked with him that this is what we had. So we continued to make payments over the next few months, and I actually was trying to add a little bit more towards the principal, realizing it's going to negatively amortize, and
yep,
we need to add more money towards that principal. But every time the new statement would come, you know, we were just basically treading water. We weren't even, you know, I realized this was just very frustrating. it wasn't until January, and at that point, the interest, I mean, we would watch the interest rate. At that point, I'd written it down here someplace, it was 5.375 for our February statement that had come, and I just threw up my arms and thought, I need to call the Legal Aid Society. I don't know any lawyers. I haven't had to deal with them in the past. I called the Legal Aid Society here in Milwaukee and asked if they could help me out and maybe let me talk with a lawyer concerning a loan that we had, and it was misrepresented, and they graciously gave me the name of Kevin DeMet, who's been nothing but wonderful, you know, with this case.
So you start out with a 1.95% interest rate that you was presented to you that would be fixed for 5 years, the interest rate and the payment. But in reality, within a six-month period, you're already at almost 5.5% as far as the true note rate of the mortgage.
Right. And this mortgage mortgage started out in August of 2004, and right now our interest rate is 8.25. So I mean, I guess the cap is 13.75.
So tell me why you didn't refinance out of this. Tell our audience. I have a pretty good idea. I know Bill does. Why didn't you refinance out of this
between
thing?
Between the closing costs and the fact that there is a prepayment penalty, it would have cost us quite a bunch of money. And that's why we were actually, in talking about it, we were thinking maybe that's what we should do. That's kind of what prompted me to call the lawyer, you know, get some legal consult and find out what options we might have had.
Was it presented to you when you started the initial paperwork and at the closing that there would be a prepayment penalty?
We had asked that, and he said within the first year, there was like a timeline. If you tried to get out of it within the first year, there was going to be like a 3%.
Ouch. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Right? And then each year it was going to go down a bit.
Oh, wow. So you seem to be pretty even-tempered, at least right now anyway. Did you, like, get really mad? Did you get rude to anybody on the phone? You know, did you say, hey, what's going on here? You
know. No, I mean, my husband and I had some heated arguments, and it wasn't, I truly didn't try to blame him, but, you know, we were in a 15-year fixed, 5.6, and it just, this has caused a lot of turmoil. And, you know, you go through the why did you pick up that flyer, why did we call them type of arguments, and it wasn't his fault. It was just, you know, the anger regarding the fact that we were, you know, basically taken. We thought it wasn't the product that we were shown.
Yeah, so you're duped, and you're angry, and you're frustrated, and you don't know what to do with it, and you get to share it with each other. Isn't that nice in a family?
Yeah, for the most part, though, we're pretty laid back, and we, you know, it's going to be 25 years for us, so we're pretty good.
Wow, good for you.
We understand, and, you know, he makes mistakes, I make mistakes. We don't know. I'm not saying it was his mistake, but because of the fact that he picked up that flyer, I thought I could blame him a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, you know, but if it had been the product that you thought it was.
Right.
Everybody would have patted each other on the back. It would have been puppies and flowers for everybody, right?
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, he initially had met with the mortgage broker. I work as a nurse Monday through Thursday. He had set up a time that he was going to meet. He said, I'll just go check it out. And was very impressed with the broker and the product. And then I had come in a few days later. We set up an appointment for all of us. And it just sounded, I mean, I kept verifying with this broker, fixed 1.955 years, and he would smile at me. Yeah, here, right here. He'd show me, and so I thought, okay.
The part that gets me is, at least in the article, it points out that, all right, you said great, and you kept asking, kept checking, but your paperwork was not particularly kind to you either.
Correct. We had the Truth in Lending, and it said 1.955-year fixed. And what's very interesting about this, actually, I'm not sure if I'm talking to Art or Bill.
We're both here.
Was the fact that when Kevin DeMet had filed the lawsuit, it was in April of 2005. In June of 2005, we found out that they had changed their paperwork. Chevy Chase had changed their paperwork, and it said 5-year ARM. So basically they're realizing that their paperwork, there was something wrong with it. It was deceptive. And Judge Lynn Edelman pointed that out also in his when he made his decision in January, that it was very deceptive. It wasn't. It was very misleading.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that. I really can understand that. You know, we caution borrowers all the time to be careful what they get into, to read everything. But here you have a document that says it was fixed. I mean, I don't know how they can claim that you thought you were getting something that you weren't.
Well, in Chevy Chase, the way they explained it when they were interviewed was that there was a part that was lopped off that was supposed to say fixed pay, that the pay was missing. And so that was their lame way that they were trying to explain it. But, I mean, to me, it totally shows that they were guilty with, you know, we filed the suit, and 2 months later, they're changing their paperwork for that loan.
Yeah, and Judge Edelman seems to have agreed with you.
Right.
Okay, Sue, if you could hang on 1 second, we do need to take one more break.
But okay.
We're talking with Sue Andrews from the Milwaukee area about a mortgage she got into a couple years ago along with her husband that wasn't necessarily represented properly by the lender. You're listening to Your Home, Your Money. It's Bill Quigley and Art Blanchett. We're going to be right back. Welcome back to Your Home, Your Money. Bill Quigley here along with Art Blanchett. We're talking about a WashingtonPost.com article entitled A Fight Over the Fine Print. You go to WashingtonPost.com, you can find this article, A Fight Over the Fine Print. It was dated just a few weeks ago. We have Sue Andrews on the line, who's here in the Milwaukee area. We're in the Madison area.
Sue's the victim here.
Sue and her husband got a mortgage a few years ago that was represented as a 5-year fixed rate mortgage with a rate of 5.95%. When they got their first mortgage statement in the mail, they were surprised to see that it wasn't fixed for 5 years.
That's what we call an option arm or a pickup payment.
Pickup payment or a lot of different names.
Yeah, we got some good names for it we don't say, right?
But Sue, you got legal counsel. You went through the legal process. Tell us where you are today, where you think you'll be going forward. And before we close out the program, we just want to ask your opinion of what do you advise other people looking at stuff that looks really good. So where are you today?
Buyer beware. Well, right now, in mid-January, Judge Edelman did rule that we won the case. Brian and I won the case, but it is a group of 7,000 to 8,000 people that have this loan. Chevy Chase has taken it to the Court of Appeals in Chicago, and that's supposed to be all the paperwork is supposed to be into them by mid-May, and they're going to start looking at it at that point.
Now, are you still involved in it, or is your case is won, or your case is won pending the appeal?
Our case is won, but it would be even a better thing to know that it's going to affect the rest of the class because they basically rescinded. Judge Edelman rescinded our loan, meaning that we're released from the loan and we don't have to. They have to pay back the interest and any sort of closing costs to us.
Have you gotten a pile of money yet?
No, nothing. Nothing. And I think that's why we're waiting for this Court of Appeals for the rest of the class. Basically, he wants that for everyone. He wants people to be aware of this, and that's where it could really impact Chevy Chase if that really does happen, where they would be forced to notify the whole class and possibly rescind loans. I don't think that's been done before.
So what the judges, in effect, ruled is that everything that you've paid for this mortgage, your closing cost, any interest you've paid to date, that you would get back.
Correct.
That's quite a real.
So you may multiply that times 7,000.
Now, is this 7,000 people nationwide that have this type of mortgage?
Right.
That's a
with
lot
them,
of money.
With Chevy Chase.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, you can see why they'd be fighting this tooth and nail, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's big stuff, and they we're anxious because this we met these lawyers back in February of 2005, and here it is 2 years later, and I know the legal system moves slowly, but it's kind of frustrating to kind of be put on hold here and not knowing where we're going.
So, can you go anywhere? Can you sell your house? Can you move on?
We've been advised just to stay put because of the fact that we don't want to take that chance and make any problems with this loan.
Oh,
so
sure.
We're just staying put, and that's fine for now. But that is our plan to move to the Milwaukee area.
So you're stuck there. You're a prisoner essentially until this gets settled.
Well, Cedarburg isn't the worst place to live. But when you're living in the community that you don't want to be in, and you want to move on, we're kind of we're on hold, and that's why, and that's my anxiety about, you know, let's get this finished and be able to move on.
Get on with life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sue, tell us now, after being through this, anybody that's out looking for a refinance mortgage today, I mean, we're inundated daily with stuff on television about how great the low rates are, the pick-a-payment mortgages, stuff we get in the mail, things that are on the internet. If you could talk to people that are looking for a mortgage today, whether they're refinancing their home or looking to purchase a home, what are your recommendations after having been through something like you've been through?
Well,
what do you tell them?
We basically were very happy with our local fixed loan. I guess I'm not saying you need to buy purchase a mortgage within your city or anything, but I think I would have maybe tended to deal more in the local area
for a
loan. Check the local banks out, see what their products are. I will never attend a closing without a lawyer again.
Wow.
Okay.
Because honestly, I know Art and I had talked about the fact that our broker was not there that day. He just amazingly chose not to be present during the closing. So if any questions that we had, there was no one to ask.
That is such a red flag. That is when they don't show up.
There was just the closer was there, and she was just presenting the product and having us sign things, but she wasn't the person to go to for questions about the loan. So, red flag definitely if your mortgage guy isn't there. Don't sign anything.
Same thing applies to if you're working with an internet lender. They're not going to be there at the closing, and they're not going to answer the telephone when you try to call them from the closing.
Oh, gosh.
Right.
So,
I mean, they're real happy to take that check when it's all said and done, but you need to have someone there, and we were kind of stuck with, no legal representation, and then as it turned, and that was our option. We didn't feel that we needed it now in retrospect, but the fact that even the broker wasn't present, that was not cool.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
All right.
But now, for those looking for a mortgage, I tend to agree with Sue's comments. Look for somebody local, somebody that you can count on is going to be at that closing, that you can follow up with after the closing, that's going to be around, not somebody that's a long distance away or somebody that's through the internet or based on some strange ad you see on television that looks too good to be true. And I still get stuff in the mail. I don't know about you, Art, and maybe Sue, you're probably still getting it too. I get stuff in the mail almost every day about great low interest rates. I see it on television.
And if you go on the internet, I get a lot of pop-ups about your mortgage.
Oh, don't you?
I see it there a lot. Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
A $500,000 mortgage for $1,500 a month.
Right.
Order now.
Well, the thing that gets me the most is we can be told just about anything from the people we deal with. It happens in a lot of sales industries, unfortunately. But when your paperwork is lying to you, then you have a serious issue.
Definitely.
Right.
Definitely. Well, Sue, we thank you so much for joining us and sharing the story with us. You're basically putting your whole life out on the table for everybody listening. We appreciate you sharing it, and it's going to help a lot of people make better decisions in the future.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't want other people to fall into the same traps.
Definitely.
That's why it was good to talk to you guys.
We wish you the best for you and your husband and your family. We hope everything works out for you, and we're going to be watching this and keeping track of it.
We hear Brian in the background, by the way. We know he's there.
He just arrived back, yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
we got to take one of our cars in to get fixed.
We got about 10 seconds. We got to go, but we sure thank you so much.
It's Bill and Art with Your Home, Your Money Mortgage Radio. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock here on Madison 1670 The Pulse. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.